Hey guys, thanks for tuning in today. You know this message that you're about to hear. I pray that it not only inspires you, but encourages you to follow Jesus even more. In fact, there are probably people in your life who need to hear this timely word. Chances are you're thinking about them right now. Share this message with them. And listen, if you're watching on YouTube, let me encourage you to hit subscribe, stay tapped in. You know, I also want to take the time to thank all those who support us. We wouldn't have any ministry outside these four walls if it weren't for our friends who come alongside us in prayer and supporting us financially. You know, there are thousands who are benefited by this ministry because of your giving, and we thank you. To continue or to even start supporting our mission to help others and their families follow Jesus, you can give by visiting cfmiami.org/give. We also wanted to update you on something important. Recently, our on-demand services will be available starting Sunday evenings. To catch the entire service, be sure that you're logging onto our live streams when we begin services Sunday morning at 9 a.m., 10:45 a.m., and 12:30 p.m. Otherwise, you'll be catching the service midway through. Enjoy this sermon.
Well, hey everybody, it's Pastor Omar here. And earlier this year, I introduced to us a brand new initiative called Be a Blessing. And what Be a Blessing is all about is that we would come alongside different families in our city who are hurting, who are under-resourced, and not only serve them once, but serve them throughout the year at various times. So for example, at the beginning of the school year, we would provide for their children backpacks full of school supplies and also raise money through Caring for Miami to ensure that they're fed through the entire school year. During Thanksgiving, we would come to the same family and bring a Thanksgiving meal so that they can enjoy Thanksgiving just like you and I. During Christmas time, we would also come alongside of them and ensure that their children have gifts so that they can experience the same thing that our children experience and provide any other things that they need during the holiday season. And even into the new year, even up to Easter time, listen, we would come alongside of them, and if there's ever a need, if there's ever a tragedy that ensues, they know that there's a group of people that loves them, prays for them, and is there to support them. And so I want to take the time to update you on where we're at on Be a Blessing. You all ready? All right. So up to this point, you have signed up to minister to 342 different families. Amazing, right? And not only that, but we've been able to raise over $61,000 to ensure through Caring for Miami that they have food through the entire school year. And so listen, if you are a small group that signed up, or maybe an individual family that you signed up for Be a Blessing, thank you so much for rising to the challenge and being part of this amazing initiative. I am so confident that God's gonna use you throughout the year to not only meet their physical needs, but more importantly, their spiritual needs. And by the way, if you signed up, in the next few weeks, you're gonna get an update and all the information of your specific family so that you can begin to reach out to them and begin to form that relationship that will go the entire year. Now, if you're a small group or a family, an individual family that has enough resources to bless another family, but you have not signed up yet, listen, it's not too late. Simply go to cfmiami.org/beablessing, fill out that form, and then we will get in touch with you and get you squared away, all right? Well, in Christ Fellowship, thank you so much for your passion and your love for the Lord. It shows in the way that you rise up to the challenge and that you want to be a blessing to so many families in our city, all right? Love you all.
Good morning. My name is Al Williams. I have the honor and privilege of serving as the downtown Coral Gables campus pastor. God bless. And I also have the privilege of serving as the Is it on? Can y'all hear me? Pray for your boy. Been a day. Sorry, production. God bless. Sorry. And I also have the honor and privilege of being on the teaching team as well. Everyone, take some time right now. Can we welcome those joining us online? We're glad you're here with us. Well, today we're closing out our I Am series where we have studied the seven I Am statements of Jesus. And today, it's actually his fifth one, but I love that we're closing with this seventh I Am statement as well. And so I hope it's been a blessing to you all, but can I tell you this one, to me, it just seems to be the most life-changing, the most impactful, and the most hopeful Because when you put your trust in Christ, oh, there's beauty and glory waiting for us. Amen? And so y'all know me, the student guy, DNA in me has not died. There is crowd participation involved in the reading of the word. Except for having one or two words, I'm giving us a full sentence. So we gotta go nice, loud, slow, together. Amen? Amen? I'll give us the count off. We did really, really well last service. I know we can do it here. Here we are, very simple. You can put it up on the screen. John chapter 11. And I just want to read verse 25 and 26. So here we are, as you come up to your part. Jesus said to her, ready? One, two, three. I am
the resurrection
and the life. Man, that sounds beautiful when the saints read God's word together. Sounds incredible. Verse 26. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Amen. Powerful question. Do you believe this?
Yes.
Well, I hope so, church family. If you're taking notes or photos of the notes in here today, very simply, I would love to title this, I am the resurrection and the life. Let's quickly go to the Lord in a word of prayer. Father, we are so thankful. Help us to never, ever take it lightly. That you died and rose again, showing that you defeated sin and the grave. I do ask now for those who need spiritual life, would you breathe upon this room? Speak now, Father, for all of your servants are listening, and all God's people said,
amen.
Amen and amen. Well, you may be seated. You may be seated in Jesus' name. Well, I feel like I start all my sermons off this way, but whatever, pray for your boy, God bless. Y'all know we got a cute little baby, and you know, so anytime I go somewhere, it just happened to me recently, I was walking with my daughter, and someone was like, sir, 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 like grabbing the car. I'm like, I know this white baby is my baby. Go away. Right. But those of y'all who may or may not know, my wife, Aubrey, she's a scientist, and she's a phenomenal wife. Today is her birthday today. Hi, Mookie. My little birthday girl, man. And so it's her birthday, but you know, Mookie, she's a scientist. And so we're praying that even though our daughter looks a lot like mommy, she's acting like dad. So we gotta pray for your boy. We wanna be like mom. And so, you know, my wife, she's a scientist, and so we try to keep these different things of science, women who are in the areas of sciences and mathematics and this, in front of our daughter's eyes. So recently, we were watching different movies, and one of the movies that we had watched that really talks about a group of women that really made a big shift and a big change in our day and age and society today is the movie called Hidden Figures. Anybody ever seen that? Come on. It ain't Black History Month, but I'm gonna celebrate now. Yes, God. And so this movie, Hidden Figures, it's loosely based around these three women, and it happened during the 1960s, not all at one time, but they focus on these women. I wanna make sure I get it. Katherine Johnson, Dorothy Vaughn, and Mary Jackson were these three ladies. But there was one in particular in the 1960s, 1961, that they focused on. But if you know the whole story, at this time, it was NACA, before it turned its name to NASA, was trying to recruit and have different recruits in there. And they recruited these group of women and they called them human computers. And what these human computers were doing is they were calculating and doing all the math and science of what it would take to put one of those aircrafts with those astronauts in there from here to the moon. This is a feat that has never been done before. Our world had never seen it. No one knows what this is looking like. No one knows how this is going to happen. And so you could imagine then these ladies, they got together and they calculated and did all of this so that we would be able to land on the moon. And so you have to understand these ladies on one hand, they served as a blueprint for African Americans to get into NASA, you know, right? Well, my daughter, she ain't gotta worry about that now. Like, even though she's black, you pass. You and him. But they were a blueprint, you see. But then, don't miss it in this biggest portion here, these women, they did the math, and actually, I think it was Dorothy was the one to actually go off and code the numbers that the astronauts used to take off and land in space. These women, they created a blueprint that we use still till this day to get from here to the moon. They all created this blueprint, these human computers, for something that we had never seen, never done, and never experienced. These ladies were the blueprint, and they made the blueprint for us to get to the moon. Now, can you see where I'm headed with this a little bit? For you and I, as we talk about life and the resurrection, Jesus Christ is the blueprint for the resurrection and the life, because he is the one who has gone somewhere we've never experienced before. And so this is the big idea that I want to get across to all of us in here today. It's very simply, it's just that, is that Jesus is the resurrection and the life. He's the blueprint. He's the first one. Right now in heaven, there is only one resurrected being in heaven sitting at the seat of the Father, next to the Father, and it is Christ, Jesus, the Messiah. There's only one. He's the blueprint. And so you may be asking yourself the question, okay, glad he's the blueprint. What does that mean for me? What do I do about it? Good question. Glad you asked. You can very quickly write this down as point number one. You have to understand that Jesus is always on time. Let the church say amen.
Amen.
He's always on time. Everybody go down and look at our text here. Found in John 11, but move your eyes up a few verses to verse 17. It says, Now when Jesus came, he found that Lazarus had been in the tomb 4 days. I have to stop really quick before I read the rest of this just to explain some things so you understand this here. You have to understand, in the Old Testament, God spoke to his people, and then there was a thing called the intertestamental period where 400 years, God did not speak to his people, and then the New Testament came. John the Baptist showed up. Now with me? So in these 400 years where God had not spoken to his people, what these rabbis and these leaders, what they would do is they begin to try to, they made like their own commentary on how to follow God's law. Y'all tracking with me? And so they also came up with a bunch of crazy, wild things. And one of the things that they came up with and they wrote about that everyone was believing and had in their minds at this time was that whenever someone died for 3 days, the spirit hovered over the body, right? So the spirit hovered over the body for 3 days, and then a person would come back, you know, and if a person came back to life in those 3 days, it was like, 'cause your spirit went back into you, right? And this all came from, because, you know, they didn't have as great a technology and all this stuff back in the day. But, you know, it'd be like a funeral was happening and they're holding a coffin. Then they hear like, hey, let me out. Right. Like, oh. So these rabbis came up with this whole thing saying your spirit went back into you. Y'all track it? And so then why does the Bible then point this out that Lazarus had been in the ground 4 days? Because he's dead. If this man comes back to life, it is a miracle beyond miracle. The spirit didn't go back into him. No one else can take credit other than the person who raised him. You see where I'm headed with that? God bless you. And so that's the first thing you have to understand that. That's why I pointed out. But then look at verse 18. He says this, Bethany was near Jerusalem, about 2 miles off. And many of the Jews had come to Martha and Mary to console them concerning their brother. Verse 20, so when Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went to meet him. Any of y'all got those friends who are super like, Right, I think about my mom a little bit, you know. She gangster, you know what I'm saying? Martha heard that Jesus was coming and she went to meet him, but Mary remained seated in the house. Listen to verse 21. And Martha said to Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. Any of you been in anger with the Lord before? Shame the devil, tell the truth in church. That's what's happening with Martha right there. We prayed, I've seen you heal people. He was sick. If you got here on time, he would be healed. I've seen your healing ministry. I've never seen you work with the dead. And so here is Martha now meeting our Lord in anger. If you had been here, if you had only been here, how many of you have been there before? And just as a side note, I just want to say to you, you know God is not bound to being in a location. He don't need to be right next to you to heal you. You understand? So you have to understand that we've been there before, and here is Martha going, Lord, if you're late, You're not on time. And we all, I can just tell by the hush over the crowd, we all know that experience that have been there. And the Bible leaves us in here so that God can say, I identify with you. I get you, I understand, right? And so then here she is with this, and she says, Lord, if you had only been here, your timing was off. I wanna help set the scene a little bit. If you all remember, the last time I preached on how Jesus had talked about it, and he said, I am the light of the world. Remember, there was those giant candelabras that were inside and all throughout the temple, and so everyone saw these beautiful lights and candles, but the scriptures say in the next chapter, the next day, all those candles went out. So you have all these lights that have gone out, and now Jesus walks out amongst those lights, and he goes, I am the light of the world. I'll never go out, right? And then the rabbis get angry, and they start battling. They start debating him back and forth, and then finally he goes, before Abraham was, I am. Claiming to be God, claiming to be the Almighty. So then naturally, all the religious leaders pick up stones and they're about to kill Jesus. But remember, it's Jesus and those 12 disciples. So it'd be like the youth pastor with his kids, right? You know what I'm saying? And he's like, oh man, don't tell your mama, we almost died today. So there they are, and they're in the midst of literally about to lose their life, and then they make a 3-day journey to safety. 3 days to get out of this place. And then when they finally get to the place of safety, word comes to them, back to the place where they just were, where people just tried to kill them, word comes to them, hey, Jesus' best friend Lazarus is sick. He's dying. You can imagine what's going through these little teenagers' hearts, like, bro, they just tried to kill us. I'm not going back. Right? But God has a purpose and a plan for us. He has a purpose in his timing. Because look at what happens here when they get word. Look at how Jesus responds to this story. Everybody go up a few more verses to verse 4. It says, but when Jesus heard it, he said, this illness does not lead to death. It is for the glory of God, so that the Son of Man might be glorified through it. You see, everything always points back to the glory of God. I think it was the Westminster Catechism where he says the chief end of man is to glorify God in all that he does. That's what God has created you and I for. It's for glory, to point back to him, to glorify him. You tracking? So he gets this statement and he goes, oh, this death has nothing to do with Lazarus and everything to do with the Son. And so he says, this death isn't for this. And then he goes on and he goes, Lazarus is asleep. And so the disciples, they're like, well, Lord, if he's sleeping, let's just wait till he wakes up. I don't want to go down there and die. And now Jesus speaks to them very, very plainly a few more verses later. Listen to this, John 11:14. It says, then Jesus told them plainly, Lazarus has died. And for your sake, I am glad. There's a preacher by the name of Charles Haddon Spurgeon. He preached a sermon called Lazarus is Dead and I Am Glad. What an interesting sermon. But he's taking it straight from this text here. And so he says in verse 14 there, he goes, but for your sake, I'm glad. Listen, that I was not there. Why? So that you may believe. Amen. But let us go to him now. Verse 16. So Thomas the twin said, let us go that we may die with him. You see those teenagers? Like, bro, we about to die. Let's go. Fine. Ride or die, bro. I'm a gangster. So he says, let us go that we may die with him. But do you see the whole timing in there? Is that for us, it looks like, well, the timing's wild. Everything's happening at different paces and at different times. And what does Jesus do? Oh, no, no, no. All this has to deal with my glory. When he heard his friends dying, he stayed 2 more days so that he could show up. 4 days proving, yeah, this guy is dead. So if a miracle happens, everyone's gonna praise God and not just go, oh, his spirit went back into his body. Everything is pointing back to Christ. And especially when it comes to timing of that in our lives. You know, some theologians would call the book of Romans Paul's magnum opus of his works. And one of the magnum opuses, I would say, is found in Romans chapter 11. This is such a powerful verse. Verse 36 is an all-encompassing theological verse. It says, for from him and through him and to him are all things. To him be the glory and glory forever and ever. Amen. God has control over all things, even our time. You see? God has full control. Whatever is going on and happening in your life, God is absolutely sovereign, has absolute authority, has absolute control, and has absolute purpose in whatever you're going through, whatever pain that hits your life. I think there's a beautiful story that illustrates this. There's a beautiful story that illustrates this when we think about God's timing. And how sometimes it's not as we seem, as we would expect, huh? We've been there. There's a great story of a woman by the name of Joan Murray. Joan Murray, she was a banker, a well-known banker, but one of the things that she did as a hobby, one of her favorite hobbies was skydiving. One of her favorite hobbies is skydiving. If you were here the last time, you gotta pray for your boy. That is white people activities. I'm not jumping out of a plane, dog. What are we doing? What are we doing? What are we doing? Pray for your boy. I'm playing. I'm not jumping out of a plane. You feel me, Nigel? I'm not doing it, dog. Like, it's not happening. All right, yeah, come on, bro. Yeah, come on. So she's jumped 35 times. And she has brand new gear. And so she bought a brand new gear. She's like, I'm going to go do this jump. This is going to be a great time. Now, mind you, she's a mommy of twin girls. And so her girls are happy for, excited for, and so mom gets ready to go do this jump. So the day comes, January 25th, 1999. She gets into the plane, heads up into the sky, and she goes up 11, 12, 13, 14,500 feet in the air. And then makes the jump out of the plane. That's that white people activity. You gotta pray for me. I'm sorry. Who's jumping out of the plane? I'm kidding. She makes the jump out of the plane. And so as she's doing her normal routine and those things are happening, then before you know it, to a shock, when she's getting to the area where she needs to pull her parachute cord, she pulls the parachute cord and it didn't deploy. Could you imagine, bro? It didn't deploy. So what does she do then? She stays very calm. She's jumped 35 times. She cuts the cords. And then she gets ready to pull the second cord. But as she was falling in the midst of the cut, when she pulls the second cord, it had come out so fast and she was tumbling so much, it just wrapped her up. So now Joan Murray finds herself 700 feet from colliding with the earth, falling at 80 miles an hour. Oh, you can imagine the prayers that were said. Lord, you get me out of this. I'll never, whatever again. Oh, Lord, help me. If you could just save me, Lord, work it out. Lord, make it happen. But to her shock and to all of our shocks, Joan came colliding with the earth, smashing every bone in her body. And as the lifeblood begins to leave her and flowing out of her, she can feel her life leaving her. To Joan's shock and surprise, she had landed on top of a fiery red ant hill. And these fiery red ants were so upset that they all began to come out and sting Joan all over her body. And the stings were so painful and so shocking that it began to pump adrenaline in her body and her heart began to pump and to pump and to pump. And would you know it? Joan Murray lived to be an old lady and enjoy her life. Yes. But any other time, is falling on top of a red anthill a good thing to do? Top 10 worst experiences of your life. Do you think God answered Joan Murray's prayer as she was expecting in her timing? Do you see what I'm saying with this church family? God's timing is perfect and it's always pointing back to his glory, even when it's in answers in ways we're not looking for or we don't expect. You gotta, this will be our new thing for 1045. Keep your eyes out for the fire ants. Keep your eyes out for the fire ants. You don't know how God's answering prayers? I'm sure if she just hit the ground like, oh, Lord, you didn't do it. And then these fire ants came and brought back life into her. And so you have to understand that God's time, that God is always on time.
Amen.
Even when it's not as we expect. Even when it's not as we expect. Write this down as point number two, is that Jesus has the answer for the future. Let the church say amen.
Amen.
Let the church say amen. He has the answer for the future. Everybody go back into our text, starting at verse 22, John 11, verse 22. And it says, but even now, I know that whatever you ask from God, God will give to you. And Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. He's gonna rise again. But listen to this now. And Martha said to him, oh, I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day. She has really good theology. She's in a lot of pain and her theology is intact. Anybody been there before? Yes, as a church, we've all been there. And so she goes, oh, Lord, I know he will rise again on the last day. But then here's this portion. Listen to what Jesus then says to her. Jesus then says there in verse 25, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. Look at this piece right here. As they're talking, he goes, your brother's going to rise. And Mary goes, dude, I've been there. I've heard all the theological sermons. I've heard every sermon you preach. I know my brother will rise again on the last day. I know that's going to happen. I know that's going to come. But then Jesus makes a awe-shocking and bold and strong and powerful statement to her saying, I am. That's that word we talked about, the tetragrammaton statement. Some theologians call this the aseity of God. The Latin word there, means from, and then that word see, where we get aseity, that word see means self, from self, one who has existed from their self. One who pours out power from themselves. One who is not dependent on anyone or anything else. Jesus says, I am he. I am life. I am the resurrection. As he's talking to Martha about her brother, he goes, oh, you missed it. And she goes, oh, Lord, I know, I know. You can write it down and look it up very quickly. This is found in John. Sorry, production, you guys will slide through this. This is found in John chapter 2 when Jesus was speaking and he's talking with these religious leaders and they go, what sign are you going to give us? And he says, I'm going to raise this body up in 3 days, right? And they go, this temple, it took us 46 years to build this temple. Ain't no way you're going to do that in 3 days. Boy, shut your mouth, right? And then the disciples said he was talking about his body. There's a hope coming for us in the future that he will raise us again, you see? But now here's a verse I did want us to put our eyeballs on. This is found in John chapter 5. I'm skipping those, chapter 2, sorry, production. This is found in John chapter 5. And what do you guys have up there? Verse 24, beautiful. Now listen to this. This is the whole idea that Jesus has the answer for the future. He is the answer for the future. Here it is, John chapter 5, verse 24, and it reads as thus. It says, truly, truly, I say to you, whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life.
Amen.
But listen to this now. He goes, he does not come into judgment, but has passed from death to life. What is he talking about there? Continuing on. Verse 25, truly, truly, I say to you, an hour is coming and is now here when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God and those who hear it will live. He goes, for as the Father has life in himself, so he has granted the Son to have life in himself. Verse 27, and he has given him authority to execute judgment because he is the Son of Man. Here it is, verse 28. Do not marvel at this, for an hour is coming when all who are in the tombs will hear God's voice and come out, and those who have done good to the resurrection of life and those who have done evil to the resurrection of death. What Jesus is saying right there is he goes, the hour is coming, the hour is now here where the resurrection is here. Those will hear the voice of God and everyone will be raised. Look across this room right now. Every single person will be raised. Every single person will be raised and be given a new resurrected body. Here's the scary portion that Jesus was talking about there. He said, there's a resurrection for those who have done good, they will have life. If you have trusted in Christ, believed in Christ, let me tell you, when you stand before him, he will read off everything you've done. And then he goes, but you trusted in my son, enter into my rest. And then you will get a new body so that you can be here in heaven and on earth and endure that and enjoy the new heaven, new earth that he has made for you and I. But also on the contrary, those of you who are in here or watching online right now, you will be raised. And if you do not have a relationship with Christ, he will give you a brand new body to endure the eternal fires of hell that will never be put out. A new body to sustain and live with for eternity, a burning fire from God Almighty, executing his righteous judgment on you right now where you sit in your chairs if you haven't given your life. So quiet in here, I think I hear the grass growing outside. You'll be all right. It's the truth of what God is saying. There is a hope. He will resurrect these bodies one day. Philippians makes it clear. He says that every knee will bow and every tongue will confess. And here's what he means, is that you will either freely bow the knee or he'll break it. Either way, you're going to confess him as Lord. Either way, we all will be raised again. Either way, we all have this hope to look forward to. Amen? But here, well, not all. Those who don't have a relationship with Christ, I urge you, I beg you, I challenge you, give your life to Christ.
Yes, amen.
Stop playing around. Stop playing around. Trust in Jesus. I think there's a beautiful picture that kind of really helps us illustrate this. Those of y'all who know Pastor Gideon and Abby, and my dogs and the city, those are my city neighbors. And so, Gideon, he's like, yo, man, I know your wife's a scientist, everything. We got these Frost Science Museum, you know, these little tickets. Let's go to Frost, you know. Anybody been there, Frost Museum? God bless. Yeah, yeah. I looked up how that man made his money. God bless me. Okay. So look. So then here's what happened with this. He gave us these passes, and I'll never forget, you know, we're walking in there, and I saw they were doing a mummy exhibit. And so I don't know why, I thought it was like the movie Mummy. Like, I thought we were going to walk in like, you know, man, why are they shooting? Guys, this is cool, you know. Yeah, you got to pray for your boy. I know, don't judge me. But so I'm like, oh, wow, okay, so we're going into this exhibit, the mummy. And so I remember we walk into the room, and I'll never forget, I'm there, and I'm with Mooks, and I got Allie with us, and I remember looking like, man, this is crazy. How is God going to resurrect these bodies? You know, a mummy, they embalm them, they take everything out of their bodies. I mean, you see everything on this man decaying. The one guy's back is broken, toes are broken, everything. You saw him just decaying in there. You know, we were talking about it, and it's like, man, but you know, God uses little bitty small miracles now here on this earth that we're living in today to kind of illustrate of what's going to happen, what's to come for you and I. And I think one of the best illustrations, a beautiful illustration of it is that of the butterfly, right? If you look at the caterpillar, you see he starts here. And then there's a moment in time now where that caterpillar will then make that catacomb, that little cocoon, and he's in that little catacomb, and then he will be transformed into this butterfly. But here's what I want you to know and understand. You know, in this middle stage right here, when the caterpillar is in this stage here, if you were to cut that little catacomb open, it wouldn't be a butterfly, it wouldn't be a caterpillar, it would just be liquefied, right? Yeah. But still made of the same stuff, still that same DNA and everything, but in that little cocoon is where it's then transformed. I point this out to say is that, man, in the blink of an eye, in the twinkling of an eye, God will transform you and I like that. There is no purgatory. There's no waiting stage. There's no holding stage. You are instantly transformed and created and made in the same image as he is with that resurrection, amen? And so he then transforms us and he changes us. I think that's a beautiful picture and illustration of that. There's a great quote by a preacher in London. in the 1700s by the name of George Whitefield. And I love it. George Whitefield very simply had this statement where he says, listen, if you live above this world, if you have your hope set on heaven, you have your hope set for the resurrection to come, you have your hope and trust and faith put in Christ. He goes, when you live above this world, I love this portion here. Underneath, you shall be in God's everlasting arms, meaning no matter what's going on down here, you always have the hope and peace of Christ that he puts in our hearts. Amen?
Amen.
And now let that truth resonate within your heart. But then very quickly, yes, we need to understand simply and true, Jesus has the answer for the future. You will be raised again one day, either to eternal bliss or to eternal judgment. Make that decision today. Amen? But then third and finally, you have to understand this, is that Jesus not only has the answer for the future, but Jesus is the answer for today. Let the church say amen.
Amen.
Let the church say amen to that. It's true. Let's go back it down into our verse here in John 11. John 11, listen to this now then. It says, and Martha said to him, I know he will rise again on the last day, on the resurrection on the last day. And Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. What does that mean? You know, can I be honest with you all in here, church family, as I was preparing this sermon and it hit my heart, me and my wife, as we were studying this, I thought about our former senior pastor, Pastor Rick Blackwood.
Amen.
What a good man. What a godly man. And you remember one thing Rick always said to us. He goes, when you hear that I've passed on, I'm more alive today than I ever was. That's what this verse is all about, talking about. Because when Jesus says that I will give you life, he's talking about, yes, we will have a resurrection, a real resurrection that will take place, but then there's a spiritual resurrection that takes place for you and I. We are born spiritually dead in our trespasses and sin. And when we trust in Christ, he then resurrects us and makes us alive. You will never taste death again. Amen? And I love this because that's what that was for Pastor Rick in his life. He has a resurrection now, and he has a resurrection to look forward to in the future. And we all have that same thing when we put our hope and trust and belief in Jesus Christ. You understand? Now write this down very quickly. I want to help us out and build on this idea that he is the answer for today. It's not just I buy in the sky. Someday he's going to make me better. It's an answer for today. It's a hope for today. Everybody, very quickly, go back a few pages again to John chapter 6. John chapter 6. And in verse 38 there, you have to remember the picture. This is when Jesus finally said, I am the bread of life. And when he finally said, eat my flesh and drink my blood. And everybody's like, you crazy. I'm out of here. What in the world? Can't believe this. Jesus, in the midst of that speech, when he was talking then in verse 38, he says this. He goes, for I have come down. He goes, I've come down from heaven. Not on my own will, but the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I should lose nothing of all that he has given me, but raise it up on the last day. Verse 40, this is the will of my Father, that everyone who looks active right now, everyone who looks on the Son and believes in him should have eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. It's a promise for right here, right now, in your chair. When you look upon the Son, when you trust in the Son, you have everlasting life right here, right now, today, and he's resurrecting you right now in your chair. But then did you see what he says there? Because he says, everyone who looks upon the Son and believes in him. That word in there, that preposition there, is the word eis in the Greek. And it's literally the word of into him. You have to step into Christ. You know, next month, my wife and I will be stepping in the little baby. We'll be stepping into an airplane so that her little brother to go to her little brother's wedding, right? So when we're in that plane, whatever that pilot is doing, we have to trust him fully. Wherever he takes that plane, we trust him fully. When we're up in the sky, we trust him. And see, it's the same way we need to trust in Christ. You have to step into Christ. Amen? And so I want to make that challenge and pause in here today to finish out the rest of that verse. You know, verse 26, Jesus turns to her and he goes, but do you believe this? Yes, I'm the resurrection and the life, resurrecting you now, giving you new life now, giving you spiritual life now. But do you believe this? We all know a lot of stuff is way easier said than done. And I'm all looking around at students in here. You know, parents, we got, you know, come on, bless the lamb. We can't just be talking about stuff to them and not doing it, right? They watch everything we're doing. But it's true. A lot of stuff is way easier said than done. It makes me think of a story of a man in late 1800s by the name of Charles Bolden. Charles Bolden. And he was a very well-known acrobat. He would go across these high wires and do these crazy walks and these different things. And people, they called him the Great Bolden. The Great Bolden, they called this guy. And so I keep feeling like I'm saying his name wrong. I think that's it, Bolden? Lord. But anyways, this gentleman, the Great Bolden, he was so well-known for going back and forth on these high wires and doing these different things. It was incredible feats, Niagara Falls, these different places. But of course, the one that he's most well known for is the Grand Canyon. He went back and forth so many times, people stopped counting it. We don't even know how many times he did it, how many times he made this walk. But there was one time to get everyone's attention, the Great Bolden, he had thousands of people there. This guy put someone on his back and he walked across the Grand Canyon on that string with a person on his back. And then he turned around and went all the way back with a person on his back. You definitely ain't getting a brother to do that, God bless. No, I'm definitely not doing that. But you know, when he got back to the other side and he put that person off of his back, everyone clapped, hey, whoa! We believe in you. We knew you could do it. You know what he then says? Who's next? And a hush fell over the crowd. A hush fell over the crowd. Because it's easier said than done. Oh, yes, I want eternal life. Oh, yes, I'm prepared to have my sins forgiven. Oh, yes, I want all that. But he said, you must deny yourself and be prepared to die for his name. That's real. Much easier said than done, family. But listen, it's the truth. Jesus Christ is the resurrection. And he is the life. That's a hope for the future. It's a hope for today, just like we heard from our dear, dear friend, Pastor Rick. And so I encourage you and I challenge you, if you have not, put your hope in Christ today. Amen? Yes. Let's take a moment and pray. Lord, we're so thankful for your word and the clarity in your word. With every head bowed and every eye closed in here right now, under the sound of my voice, if you're going, yes, I know I don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ, and I need to put my hope and trust and faith in him and stop messing around, then this moment is for you. Or if you're in here today and you go, I'm faking it. I've been on the fence way too long. I'm a fake. I need to dive head first, both feet first, into following Christ and stop straddling the fence. If that's you in here, with every head bowed and every eye closed, very simply, I just want you to raise your hand right in your chair, right where you're at. Raise it up high. If that's you, I need to trust Christ. I need to trust him with my life. Beautiful, I see you. Beautiful, I see you. Beautiful. I see you. Beautiful. I see you over there. Beautiful. Beautiful. Excellent. Hands down. Lord, you've seen each and every hand. Would you encourage them now, Lord? Would you encourage each person? Man, get prayer, God, and continue to grow in the things of Christ. We're looking forward to how you're going to raise us. Let it be a hope for the future and a hope for today. And all of God's people said, amen and amen, church family. Let's give a hand to those who gave their life to Christ. Hey, listen, if you did make that decision to follow Jesus, we would love for you to stop by our Next Steps tent. We want to put a brand new copy of the Word of God in your hands. Because come on, y'all, and then help you with community. We all know that the Christian life is not meant to be lived alone. Let the church say amen, right? Amen. And so please stop by our Next Step booth. We want to get you a brand new copy of God's Word. And then also, you got to come back next week. We got Pastor Omar back in the house. Come on. And we're going to be kicking off a brand new series called Set Free. I can't wait. Yes, Lord. Come on, somebody. Well, to steal a line from my dog, Pastor Mark, big shout out to Pastor Mark and production again. I love God and I love you, Christ Fellowship. We'll see you guys next week. God bless.